anyone ever heard God's voice? Raise your hand, if you will. Maybe put it this way. Has anyone ever felt like God had spoken to them? Raise your hand, if you will. I think, how often has that happened for you? Pretty regularly, or maybe it was kind of like, well, you know, 10 years ago, I just had this moment with God. I think a lot of us, for a lot of us, this can be one of the more frustrating parts of prayer. That more often than not, for a lot of us, it's kind of feels like we're talking to a wall, or the ceiling, or just saying a few words and then they kind of disappear into thin air. Maybe we even feel like we're not supposed to really hear God speak to us. You know, maybe one of you, a couple of you, you know, do feel like God has spoken to you and you were kind of like, oh, if I raise my hand, are people going to think I'm kind of crazy, you know? But we've been talking about prayer as this conversational, relational practice. And I think, I would say probably all of us here want God to speak. We want God to guide us. We want God to direct us. And true prayer is indeed a two-way conversation. But what does that look like? What does it look like to have a prayer life, a relationship with God that is truly a conversation that goes both ways? And I think Psalm 25 gives us a little bit of a window into what that might look like and some of the movements of an encounter with God, of a conversation with God that is two ways. See, the psalmist expects, I think as we read this psalm, we see the psalmist's expectation that God is involved in this conversation. He's not just talking to a ceiling as he lays in bed at night. And he begins, as we have begun in our prayer series here, the Living God, by centering. Listen to what the psalmist says. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. When we pray, it's important, if we want it to be a two-way conversation, that we don't just lift up our words, that we lift up our souls to be in God's presence. To say, here I am, God. Here you are, God. To recognize that encounter that's happening. Last week we noted that the Lord's Prayer begins, Our Father who art in heaven. That we take a moment to just remember, oh, we're having a conversation with someone and to remember who that person is, our Heavenly Father. That's how the psalmist begins. And then the psalmist seeks guidance from God. And excuse me, I'm going to quote this psalm in the way that I have kind of known it and memorized it, not exactly the words that are in here, so bear with me. But it says, show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And in you, for you I wait all day long. Actively seeking guidance, actively seeking God to speak and show his ways to us. You know, sometimes I remember when I was single and was kind of in the hunt for a potential spouse, and someone gave me some really good advice. They said, don't focus so much on finding the right person as on being the right person for someone else. That was really good advice. It's not how we often do it. We often are focused on finding Mr. Right or Miss Right, but said focus on becoming Mr. or Mrs. Right. And that's kind of the shift that we sometimes have to take in prayer. We've talked about it the last couple of weeks. Instead of seeing prayer as a way of bending the world to my will, that prayer is an opportunity for my heart to bend and shift and be molded to God's will. That prayer is our way of expressing our desire to experience the resurrection power of God to make us like Christ. When we approach God and we want God to speak to us, that kind of needs to be what we're seeking. That God, through his resurrection power, would work in us, would make us more like Jesus. And then the psalm takes kind of maybe an unexpected turn. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but according to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. You know, sometimes when God does speak, when God does show us his ways and teach us his paths, it doesn't always feel good. A lot of times when God shows us his ways, we realize that they're different from our ways, that we haven't been traveling the right path. And so when God guides us, there's this sense of conviction. You know, during Lent, just to take a couple examples, we read Jesus' teaching, love your enemies. Don't just love your family and friends, love your enemies. Or when Jesus said, do not worry. We're like, whoa, Jesus. This is not really how I live. This seems like a long way away from where my heart is, my soul is right now. I think of when Ezra and Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem after it had been destroyed, and they were going there to rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple, and they discover the Torah. They discover the scrolls of the law. And so they gather everyone together, and they begin to read the scrolls, and the people start to weep because they realize how far they've strayed from God's commands and God's desires for them. And sometimes that's how we can feel when we're reading the scriptures, that we feel guilty, we feel ashamed, we might feel convicted, and sometimes those feelings can move us to turn away from God. Like, I don't like that feeling. I don't want to experience that. And so we just stop. And so this is what the psalmist gives voice to. He reminds himself of God's mercy and his love. And he says, don't remember my sins. Remember me according to your love. Look, treat me according to your love, not according to my sins, is what he's saying. So when we experience that guilt or that conviction or that shame, as we hear get God's guidance, we take a step forward. We pray in an atmosphere of grace. Because God doesn't show us his ways. He doesn't show us our sins to punish us. He shows us his ways. He shows us our sins to redeem us and help us find and walk the right path. And then the psalmist rests in an assurance of God's goodness and love. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. You know, what God has shown us, when God shows us his ways, might be, again, convicting. It might be hard. It might be challenging. It might be a little scary. You know, Jesus says sometimes, take up your cross and follow me. And so we take a moment to just rest in the assurance that all of God's paths are love and faithfulness. That God's ways may not be our ways, but they're better, they're higher. And this is what faith is, resting in the truth that the way of Christ, the way of the cross, the way of love, the way of mercy, is the best way to live our lives. And the psalmist rests in that truth, in that grace, in that love, in that faithfulness of God. I think this is a little bit of a picture of what it looks like to really pray on a two-way street, to engage with God. You see, the psalmist and us, we don't just listen for a random voice from God. We listen for God, the God who speaks and the God who has spoken. And so it's important, if we want to have this kind of two-way conversation with God, to recognize that God has spoken to us. That we have the scriptures. That we have the life of Jesus that we encounter through the scriptures. And so when we are seeking God's voice, when we're asking God, show us your ways, even when the psalmist said, show me your ways, he talks about the covenant, the Torah, the instruction that God had given. We're not looking for something new. We're looking for God to make his word personal, Not new, but personal. We're looking for God to connect his word to our lives, to our hearts. And so, for our prayers to be a two-way conversation, then, it's important that we don't divorce our spiritual practices. Okay, so sometimes we have our kind of checklist of things we're supposed to do. We have a prayer. Okay, I prayed. And then we have our scripture reading. Okay, I read a chapter of the Bible. And then we have our service. Okay, and now I served someone, or I lived it out, or what have you. And that's not how we look at life with the living God. That everything, if prayer is simply conversation, is communication, is being in the presence of God, then everything we do has to do with prayer. And so what we're going to do this morning is take an ancient practice called Lectio Divina. Some of you have done this before, I'm sure. Who has practiced Lectio Divina before? Knows it by name. Some of you might have practiced it and don't know it by name, but it simply means, Lectio Divina simply means divine or spiritual reading. In other words, we're not going to just, read this like a book. We're going to read the scriptures and listen to the scriptures, in this case, prayerfully, asking God to speak them to us. It says, Karl Barth once said something like this, that when we enter into the scriptures, it's less, sometimes we read the scriptures to try and get God's reality into our lives, but when we enter into the scriptures, they draw us into a different reality. They draw us into the reality of God's kingdom, of the life that God has for us. And so we read prayerfully and allowing God to speak to us.